Welcome to Clue, the Coronavirus Legal Update, a podcast of the Miller Law Firm PA, providing individuals and small businesses, as well as large businesses, with information related to the coronavirus and how it can impact you or your business in South Carolina. I'm your host, Attorney Melissa Miller of the Miller Law Firm. Without further ado, let's talk to today's guest and get today's clue. Okay, Nick, can you tell me about your position? What is your job title?
I'm a primary examiner at the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
And you work very close to DC, is that correct?
I do. I work at home full time, and I have been since 2009. Many patent examiners have already been doing that. Probably about 60% of the office was doing it before the COVID crisis, and we all transitioned pretty quickly to all working home.
And how have things changed for you?
Main difference for me isn't necessarily the work function, but it's the fact that I have my two boys at home now, ages 6 and 2. They are no longer in kindergarten and daycare, respectively. So that means there's additional responsibilities, and it's quite hectic to manage them. My wife also works at home, so that's good, but still, that's a lot of time that we need to watch those two.
How is DC handling the crisis? I mean, you're privy to the situation because you're close to DC. How is DC handling the situation?
I would say that Virginia's governor, Maryland's governor, and the DC mayor have been fairly proactive with starting social distancing and properly applying the principles that are necessary, using what science knows in order to protect its citizens. And I believe that they've saved many lives by doing so. And they're also using an abundance of caution before anything gets reopened.
What are your concerns moving forward? What do you see that concerns you being this close to the situation? What are you able to see that we perhaps are not able to see here?
The main thing to be concerned about it would be starting life as it was too early. I think we still... There's a great need to still wear personal protective gear wherever you have close proximity to other people, who aren't in your family, or in an enclosed space, so that the infection won't spread. And then that would include masks and either goggles or face shields. So I have several friends who are managers at Starbucks. And they're going back soon, and I'll advise them to, they've been given masks at work, which is great when they're going to go back next week, but I advise them all to buy their own safety goggles too.
And DC's a pretty impacted area. I think this has been a hard pill to swallow down south where people are more spread out. What can you tell people about what you've seen in DC or close to DC and how the pandemic has spread that would provide some caution for people who are perhaps not in close distance, close proximity to each other?
Yeah, I mean, the District of Columbia and the surrounding areas are fairly dependent on public transportation. Not everyone owns a car or is it convenient to drive. They would often take Metro, which is similar to what New York City is and probably the most likely reason that New York City spread so quickly. We've shut down many of the stations here. They've also limited access to only essential personnel, so it's not as crowded. So that was a big deal. But even so, there's been many infections here, and there's several cells where there's been a lot of deaths and infections, and most of them happen to be around nursing homes. But there is another trend that those who are African American have actually been hit the hardest, and particularly in Prince George's County, which is southeast of D.C., which actually stands out as an interesting data point because it is actually the most affluent majority African-American county there is. So even with decent health care, it's still been a rough time.
What is the solution? What do you think is the solution?
Well, there are two pathways to solve the crisis as far as moving away from everyone staying at home all the time. That would be either A, effective testing, or B, an effective vaccine. Testing hopefully will be earlier than a vaccine, but there are challenges with that even now, not just deployment and numbers, but also accuracy and when it can be applied as well. So how quickly it would detect someone who's asymptomatic and has the virus. And the vaccine will take, in most circumstances, 18 to 24 months. And everyone will go crazy by then if we all have to stay at home. So we got to find some sort of hybrid solution in between. Hopefully the testing will speed up.
So as someone who works in the patent office, as a patent examiner, tell us more about this approval process for the vaccine. Why 18 months? I mean, we've heard about it in the media. Why does it take so long to get a vaccine approved?
Well, that's outside of the patent office's purview. Generally speaking, that would be the FDA. So that's the Federal Drug Administration. They would approve. They run the clinical trials, or they manage the clinical trials, and they would, of course, approve any of those vaccines that would be working. But it's not necessarily any of their. It's not like they're working against it. They're trying to help it. So it just takes time.
Would the patent office play any part in that process, or would you, as a patent examiner, be any part of the process?
No, I would not.
What is, how is DC handling the situation?
With this COVID in general, they shut down the metro. Everyone's pretty much staying at home. The grocery store has been pretty good. They've all, set up lines outside 6 feet apart to make sure that everyone keeps a distance to go in, and they keep track of the numbers so that there isn't a high enough density. This is true for grocery stores and warehouse clubs like Costco and BJ's and whatnot. So everyone seems to be getting along pretty well. A lot of the parks are closed, which is unfortunate for someone who has kids because the playgrounds are gone. But we found a solution. We built a ninja course in our side yard. And I also bought a 14-foot trampoline as well, which I'm still putting together, which will hopefully help get their energy out.
Yes, I think we're all finding ways of exercising differently. It's one thing I've learned with kids in tow. You're in a unique position because you're in Virginia. Are Maryland, and Maryland's nearby, you talked about Prince George's County, which is part of Maryland. Are Maryland and Virginia's governors operating differently or approaching this differently? By that extension, D.C. as well. Are there three different approaches, or is everybody working hand in hand?
They all started separately but similarly, and they have decided to work in concert to reopen. So they have actually made that public statement where each of the three executives have determined that they will work in concert to make sure everything works together as well as possible, because the region really is interrelated between those three areas. There's no separating them, even though they are different states and District Columbia.
Is there anything else you can tell businesses in the South about the situation in D.C., Any concerns you have as we struggle to open up but do so safely?
Well, wear your personal protective gear whenever you can to make sure that you don't spread anything. You may have it, you may not know it. So that's one thing you got to keep in mind. And hopefully everyone else around you will do the same. And, you know, if you have a business, you should consider and plan out when you have a space that you probably won't be able to fill it the same. So that does change everything from manufacturing to restaurants.
That's probably what the public will expect. I would think so. People need to be aware that the expectations of their customers are probably going to change, and right, to plan accordingly.
And I would not, places that are have a very high density, such as sporting events, and theaters, either movie theaters or regular theaters, they would have a really hard time to get anywhere near that density and be safe.
Well, Nick, thank you for your time. This has been another Clue podcast. Today I'm interviewing Nick Smith, who is a patent examiner living in Fairfax. Anything else you want to say, Nick?
Stay safe and healthy.
Thank you, and thank you to our listeners. This has been a broadcast of the Miller Law Firm. Thanks for joining us. Until our next Clue.
You have been listening to Clue, the Coronavirus Legal Update, a podcast of the Miller Law Firm, PA. This has been your host, Attorney Melissa Miller. For more information on the Miller Law Firm or to contact one of our attorneys, you may visit us at our website, www.themillerlawfirmpa.com, or call us at 864-527-0413. Thank you for listening. Until our next Clue.